What a glorious truth. We shall behold Him.
Amen.
Are you ready?
Yes.
What a great day. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
I know, I didn't publish that and put that up there, but some of you know that. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
A few days ago, 2,000 years ago, days of nightmare, an evening, an afternoon of torture and heartache and heartbreak, and the one that we thought was the Messiah all of a sudden has been crucified, and now His body lays in a tomb. How would you feel? How would you feel? You thought He was the Messiah. Everybody did. And crowds cheered, but a few days later they jeered. And what happened? If you want to turn to it this morning, I'm going to be reading some verses out of the book of Mark, chapter 16. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. But what we first of all had was some discouraged disciples. The followers of Jesus have now gone into hiding, and they must be thinking, surely we're next. If they do this to our Lord, surely we're next. And Jesus had tried to tell them what would happen, and they just couldn't hear it. Peter interrupts him to say, Lord, that's not going to happen to you, and that he would defend him. And of course, we understand that Peter did deny the Lord. And now, in this hour, after Jesus has died on the cross, he's in the tomb. We have a dejected Peter, a broken-hearted Peter, who undoubtedly can barely lift his eyes to look at his fellow disciples. Other disciples had competed with one another. Who's going to sit on the right hand and on the left of the Lord in his kingdom? The high priest had stirred up crowds to jeer the Lord and call out for him to be vilified and crucified. And then he's nailed on the cross between two thieves, and one of the thieves jeers him. And then they take his body down, lay him in a tomb, and the women followed from a distance. They saw where they laid his body, a tomb hewn out of the rock where no one had before been placed. And then, just a few short days later, love drove them to Jesus. Do you understand that when there's a hunger in your life spiritually, when you understand that you have a need in your life, when you know there's an emptiness and a void and you need God, that will drive you to Jesus. You'll search for Him. And when you seek for Him with all your heart, the Bible says, you will what?
Find
Him. But Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, I'll be reading from the New King James. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices, that they might come and anoint Him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? They brought spices to prepare the body of Jesus, because in the climate in Israel, their bodies would rapidly decay, and the spices would help to stave off the stench. The Sabbath has now passed. They want to get to their Lord as quickly as they can, and that love for Him drove them to see Him, to be with Him, drove them beyond what was practical. You know one of the delightful things about this? They don't discover until they're on the way to the tomb to help Him. They turn to each other and they don't think about, how are we going to get that stone rolled away? It's a massive stone built and put in a trench of stone. And it took many times, some commentaries will say it took 20 men to roll that stone away. Sometimes you feel like that in your own life, where there's a stone rolled and stopping your forward progress, and 20 people couldn't take that stone away. But guess what? Jesus can.
Amen.
Jesus can. And God meets them at their point of need. The stone, Mark 16, verse 4, but when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. But what else took place? There was an earthquake. Other Gospels tell us that there was an earthquake and the stone is rolled away because of that. Basically, church, God shows up. We go back a few days and there had been a torn veil. The scripture says the skies were darkened. Remember what happened? And it began at the sixth hour. The sixth hour was probably noontime, by the way. And at beginning at that time, some say it was the very moment that Caiaphas, the high priest, was dressed in his full priestly garments. And he begins his procession into the temple, where he would enter the temple garments, and a pure, spotless Passover lamb would be slaughtered. Jesus was killed on Passover. A lot of lambs were slaughtered, one for each family is the way it was supposed to work, and then supernatural darkness lasts until the ninth hour, about the time when the sacrifices of the Passover lambs are coming to an end. And in that moment, Jesus cries out, "It is what?" Come on, say it with me. "It is finished." And in the Greek, that word is teletestai. Matthew chapter 27, I'm going to read a few verses from there. You don't have to turn to it, but Jesus cried out again, verse 50 through 54. Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and he yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Whose idea was it to tear the veil? Top to bottom. God's idea. And the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. How would you like it if Uncle Charlie showed back up at your door after a few years? And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly," say it with me, please, "this was the Son of God." Now, ancient writings, church, will talk about this veil being 60 feet high, 30 feet wide, a handbreadth, probably 3 to 4 inches thick. It was so heavy, historians write, that it took probably about 300 priests to move and manipulate this veil. Anything that stands between you and God is nothing to him. That's a lot of effort for man, but no effort for God. How many know you can't split your own veil? We need Jesus. Romans 5 verse 8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ" what? Died for us. At the exact moment, Jesus says, "It is finished." And breathing his last on the cross at Golgotha, Caiaphas is standing in the inner court of the temple, finishing the sacrifices of the Passover lamb. In the same moment, Jesus declares, "It is finished." Miles away, or a ways away inside the temple of Jerusalem, God moves supernaturally. And this massive veil suddenly splits from the top all the way to the bottom. And as I've read texts and materials about it, they said it was an undoubtedly deafening roar in the temple as this material was split. And the invisible hands of God shed this garment like it was absolutely nothing. And the hands of God reach out to you and to me, saying, "Come in. It's finished. Come home." Imagine. What do you think Caiaphas must have been feeling? What do you think the priests must have been feeling? The earthly sacrifice of the lambs is over. Jesus is called the final sacrifice. Teletestai. It is finished. Origen, one of the early church fathers, said there were great earthquakes at the time of the crucifixion. His death is so traumatic that even creation shook. How about for you and for me? Mark 16, verses 5 through 8. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting at the right side where Jesus had been. And they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He's risen. He's not here." Come on, say that with me. He's risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him, and then picking up in verse 7. "But go, tell his disciples," and now I really want you to boom out these two words, "and Peter." One more time. "Go and tell his disciples, and Peter." Now I want you to put your own name in there. We're going to do the phrase again. "But go, tell his disciples, and Kevin." Powerful. Go tell even Peter that he, Jesus, is going before you into Galilee. There you'll see him as he said to you. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and they were amazed. They said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Three messages. Don't be afraid. Remember the announcement of Jesus' birth? Fear not. Don't be afraid. Secondly, go and tell. How many know that other people need to know the good news about Jesus? He's risen. The Lord is risen indeed. There's a message there the world needs desperately. And the third message is, and Peter, and you, and me. God's heart of grace and His mercy literally bursts through. Now, one thing that's fascinating, this story here, you find it in the Gospel of Mark. You don't find it in all the other Gospels. The Gospel of Mark, many will say, is basically the Gospel of Peter, because he was a disciple of Peter, and Peter made sure that the one he discipled understood that he had betrayed his Lord, but that his Lord came for him. How many are glad that Jesus loves you, amen, just like he loves Peter? Powerful. So what happens? Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. She runs to tell the other disciples, but they don't believe her. He appears to two disciples. Pastor Jay talked about that a moment ago. Two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and he talks to them about the Lord from the scriptures, and their hearts burn, and then when they discover it was Jesus, they run to tell the other disciples, but the other disciples don't believe him. Mark 16, verses 14 through 18. Later, Jesus comes then, and he appears to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and their hardness of heart because they didn't believe those who had seen him after he had arisen. You know one of the neat things, ladies? Who was the first one to see him in his resurrected state? Ladies, you're just sensitive to the Lord, aren't you? Come on, every lady in the room should smile, look at her husband and say, yes, I am. They didn't believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Verse 15, he said to them, now go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He's alive. He's here. He's risen. The way is open. Come to him. He loves you. Don't harden your heart, but believe him. He's saying, it is finished. Come on, he said, it is finished. The Greek word teletestai, those of you from Grace Christian Center, I've told the story several times. There were three uses of this word in Jesus' day. You could go to a marketplace and buy your produce, and you could buy any item you wanted, and when you had paid in full, they would give you a receipt for that item you had paid. And they would write across that receipt, teletestai, paid in full. Another use of the word was if you had crimes and you were caught and tried and found guilty and they put you in prison, they would post a list of the crimes and the punishment being paid that's deserved right next to your cell. But when you had finished serving your time, they would take the crime list down, write across it in Greek, teletestai. Sentence is paid. Paid in full. Sentence is paid. You couldn't be accused of those crimes again. You couldn't be made to reserve time again for it. And the third use was when conquering generals would have victory in the battlefield and they'd come back into the city and they'd march those they had conquered either in front of them or behind. And the crowds would yell out, teletestai! Teletestai! And it meant mission accomplished. Paid in full. Sentence served. Mission accomplished. And at the cross, as it concludes, Jesus cries out, teletestai! It's paid in full, the price for sin. The sentence is served, the punishment deserved. It's done. And he looks at us all, holds his hands out to each of us and says, my mission is accomplished. Come to me. Surrender. Today, the precious blood, the spotless Lamb of God, washes us clean from sin because of what he's done. What was their response? Mark 16, verse 20. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Now they believe. Now they get it. Now they understand what Jesus was trying to tell them. Now they get it. Glorious facts remain, church. You know, you can go around the world. You can travel to Europe. Many of you might have. You can travel internationally. And there are sites you go to see. Famous places. This one is known for an empty tomb. He's not there. He's risen. The tomb is empty. Christianity is known because of what Jesus has done. These discouraged, depressed disciples, fearful for their life in an upper room, were literally transformed, and they changed the world preaching Jesus. Why? Why? Because of John 3. Verses 16 and 17. Say it with me, would you? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. I'll finish with one little story. Some of you heard it, and you've heard it before, but there was a tradition. There was a custom in Jewish days, in Jesus' day, where the master and a slave would understand, or the young children would understand, where a table would be set perfectly to the instructions of the master, and the slave or the servant would stand to the side while the meal unfolded with his guests or his family, and he would stand to the side, and he would simply wait, out of sight, until the master finished eating. And the servant wouldn't dare touch that table until the master was finished. Now, if the master was finished eating, he would rise from the table, wipe his fingers, his mouth, and clean his beard, and wad up the napkin, toss it onto the table. And the servant would know it's time to clear the table. The master is saying, I'm done. But if you recall your scripture, John 20, verse 7, it says, and the handkerchief, King James, napkin, another translation says face cloth, that had been around his head was not lying with the linen cloths, but it was folded together in a place by itself. You see, the understanding was through all of those people, that if that master got up from the table and folded his napkin nicely and laid it beside his plate, the servant wouldn't yet dare touch the dinner and the table because the folded napkin meant, I'm coming back. And at his resurrection, Jesus folds the napkin. He splits the grave. He shows up to all sorts of people, but he leaves behind a testimony of a folded napkin and declares, Church, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. And that is great news. Come on, turn to each other and say, isn't it great news? What we're here to do today is celebrate Jesus. We're celebrating Him. He did it. He died. He was buried. He rose again. And He ever lives, the Bible says, to make intercession for His saints. Church, He's alive. Amen. Musicians, will you come? We're going to close by singing again. Celebrate Jesus. Celebrate. Would you stand with me as we close? It's been wonderful to have you here at Grace Christian Center this morning. You are invited back anytime and every time, 10 o'clock Sunday mornings, and we have a good time worshiping our Lord and invite you to be with us. If you're guests with us this morning, friends and family, it's great to have you here, and it's great to see everybody in their Easter nice finery. You all look great. Turn to one another again and say, you really look great.
You really look great.
Father, we thank You for being so good to us, for sending Your Son to us. Jesus, we thank you for surrendering and submitting. Thank you for going through everything for us, your death, your burial, and your resurrection. Lord, we are so grateful that you are alive. And we're grateful to be alive today. What a glorious day you've given us. And now as we go forth from this place, we do it with rejoicing because of the good news you've given us, Lord. We thank you and pray that you will bless each one as they go out. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Happy Easter, everyone.
Happy Easter.
Have a fantastic day in the Lord. God bless you. Be released.